Welcome back to the Green Zone, a pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday afternoon, getting set for the Rough Riders and the Edmonton Elks at Commonwealth Stadium. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers have beat up on the Hamilton Tiger Cats. 40-3 was the final score in that one. As Zach Collaros threw for 367 yards and a touchdown. Brady Oliveira was 2 yards shy of 100. And Chris Trevler ran in 3 touchdowns today in short yardage for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So they improved to 8 wins. Calgary's at 8 wins. BC is at 8 wins. And there the Rough Riders are at 10. A win today, and they are 2 wins or 2 Calgary losses away from clinching. I say Calgary because Winnipeg and BC only have 3 games left. They cannot get to 12. Calgary can get to 12. So in that scenario, the Riders would have to get to 13. Some other sporting news that we were following today. Canada, second place finish at the Women's Rugby World Cup as they lost to the best team in the world, England, and they proved it in front of 82,000 fans in England earlier this morning.
Was that 33-13? That was, yeah, the English team's pretty strong. Mm-hmm. Russell Crowe was disappointed, I saw.
Yes, Russell Crowe was cheering for Canada after Canada beat his Kiwis, the New Zealand team, in the semifinal. And the Ryder Cup is so far a lot of European scores again today at the Ryder Cup. They're up 10.5 to 3.5, and there was almost a fight with Bryson DeChambeau and Justin Rose and their caddies earlier, just like last year with Rory McIlroy and Patrick Cantlay. So it's getting spicy down there in New York, Belton.
I'm just thinking, what's the movie with Adam Sandler and the golf?
Oh, that's what Happy Gilmore?
That's kind of what it's reminding me of.
A little struggling, yeah. Wearing a Boston Bruins jersey, yeah. They should wear hockey jerseys. Yeah.
That is similar, indeed. There's a little update on what's going on in the world of sports.
Who's going to eat with Belton Johnson?
Presented by Sherwood Co-op.
1, 2, 3, let's eat!
Each and every week with Sherwood Co-op, we tell you who's going to eat. And then Belton gives us his tailgating tip. I'm still anticipating what Spuds is for a hint.
I can see. You want me to tell you?
Nope. I want to keep it a surprise.
Okay.
Belton Johnson, where are we starting on who's going to eat? What is a matchup you like?
Let's start with the Elks offense. Yeah, we ain't even got to say nothing, fellas.
Okay.
Jamie looked at me. He already know.
I'm just putting Justin Rankin down for Jamie. Belton Johnson. Can we all three of us go with Justin Rankin?
Y'all can have the rest.
How come you go first?
It's his
mind.
I know. I'm just bugging you. Oh, man.
I mess you up, hey, there.
Well, of course, he's the guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
They do use Leak a little bit. He's pretty good. He's a pretty good returner, too. I don't know. I'm kind of a Curly Givens Jr. fan. I know that it's not having his greatest year, but. Number 19 there, slotback, Curly Gittens
Jr. I'm going to say Javon Leak. They do use him from time to time to spell off Justin Rankin, and he's a heck of a returner. And if the Elks win, I think they need a special teams play from Javon Leak today. Where are we going to next, Belton?
Let's go with the Rider offense.
We are going with the Saskatchewan Rough Riders offense. And who's eating today?
Mr. Keyshawn Johnson.
Keyshawn Johnson, he's 32 yards away from 1,000. Is that Andy's got the right last name?
Yeah, that's right. Johnson. Johnson.
Never have too many Johnsons.
Daryl Davis.
They got an offensive lineman named Johnson, too, right?
So mm-hmm.
They're taking over. There used to be a lot of Davises.
And there's Mike on the other side. They're everywhere.
I think Ajoa is going to make a big splash and get him ready for the playoffs.
Why Ajoa?
I don't know. I just think that he's due for something. You know, he's been kind of working his way back in, and I know that once he and Trevor Harris start connecting, that he becomes a real favorite target.
I'm going to go with AJ Ouellette. I believe they're going to get the run game going like they did the last time they took on the Edmonton Elks, so I think AJ is set for a big day for the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. as we go to the defenses. Belton, which defense do you want to focus on first?
Let's go with the Rider defense there.
Who's eating on the Rough Riders defense?
I think I'm going to go Revis with on this one.
CJ.
He might be a little angry these days.
He could.
Revis.
I'd be angry.
Yeah. He's been in the discipline crosshairs of the CFL these days. Careful what you tweet.
Daryl, what do you got?
Oh, boy. Let's go Mike Rose.
Mike Rose in the middle of the defense.
Yeah.
For Daryl Davis. Do you know who I'm going to go with?
Ooh. Exume?
No. Nope.
Exume? No. You and your Vanderbilt and your Exume quotes today. Oh, holy moly. Those are good.
Exume is not starting today. Benny Sapp the third, they're changing the ratio around. There's an injury to Shane Ray.
Yes.
I'm going with Habakkuk Baldonado. I think he gets after it when he gets in there with a little more play today.
He's practicing with a fervor this week when I saw him. Yeah. He had some fire in his belly, and he's been wanting to play, and his teammates think he's a great player.
He is.
He's just behind some good ones, right? So, yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm going with Habakkuk Baldonado, and it's a fun name to say. And where do we wrap up with the Edmonton Elks defense?
Let me go with the Sam Becker there, Kenneth Logan Jr.
You're going back-to-back Sam linebackers?
I don't know. I just feel like it's going to be running and, you know, those guys get involved a lot with the runs.
I think they might still try testing Terrell Ford. Trey Ford's brother plays the Canadian corner, and I think that he's probably their best defensive back as far as I'm concerned. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Okay, Trey Ford.
Isn't it Terrell Ford?
Or Terrell Ford, sorry.
Yeah.
The other
Ford. Put Trey in a defensive back. I don't know.
Chris Jones might have tried it.
Yes, he might have.
I am going to go with Kobe Williams, a veteran halfback. Used to be a Calgary Stampeder, now a member of the Edmonton Elks. That's who I'm going to say might intercept a pass today from Trevor Harris. As we now go to our tailgating tip brought to you by Sherwood Co-op with Belton Johnson. Spuds was the hint. I haven't looked yet. What do we got?
Twice baked barbecue loaded baked potato.
All right.
Twice baked loaded baked potato. Okay, now I'm looking.
It's a lot. That's a lot, Jim.
That's a meal.
That is a meal. It really is.
Yep.
And so, fellas, with this one is, you know, I was looking for a chuck roast co-op. They didn't have chuck roast. Talked to the butcher there and everything. And
I think a butcher right in that store. So
Daryl, asked the butcher, we don't have chuck roast. What's, you know, a similar cut and everything? And the sirloin roast. I'm like, all right, you're my guy, so I'm going with sirloin. And so got the sirloin roast there and everything, right? And when I got home, seasoned it, covered every
nook and cranny.
That's right, with my favorite barbecue seasoning. And what I did, fellas, I got it on the smoker there at 225, and I smoked it for about three to four hours there. After 3 to 4 hours, I pulled out my Dutch oven. And I love that Dutch oven a lot. I need to go get another one. And put the smoked sirloin in there. Had cut it into pieces there. Put it in the pot. Barbecue sauce and a bit of Coca-Cola in it.
Oh, nice.
So, that's yep. That's good to just marinate. Let it simmer, marinate for what? Probably cooked it for probably about 4 hours. Maybe five, and what's that going to do, Daryl? Just breaks the fibers down and everything.
And gives tender, a little sweetness, too,
and a little bit of sweetness. Mm-hmm. So once that was done and ready, just pulled it, shredded it and everything, right, the meat. Yeah. And next thing I had to do is get the baked potatoes going, right? Got those baked up and scooped out. And
do you bake those in the smoker, too?
I do. Yeah. With these, I did not, though, because I just had too many things going that day, Daryl.
Yeah.
And so got the baked potatoes and, you know, scooped out the insides there and everything. Milk, sour cream, butter, cheese, scallions, And I held off on the bacon. I wanted to put the bacon in there, but I held off. And I got that all mixed up and everything. So got, you know, the shell of the potato skin there, right? Filled it up with the barbecued sirloin meat there. Mm. Topped it with the filling for the mashed potato or for the stuffed potato there. Popped it in the oven, 400 degrees there for 30 minutes. And then fellas pulled it out. I was like, oh man, what else can I do with this? Like, and so I, the hot honey barbecue sauce I like, drizzle that all over it.
You're not the only one who likes that.
Oh man. and Daryl, I topped ours with the French onions and everything. Okay. I didn't top it. Yours, Jamie, just gluten free, right? So, and Daryl, after that, guess what?
It's eating time.
I wasn't hungry until about 5 minutes ago when you started describing this.
Oh, it took some work, fellas.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, that's a lot of work.
It's a meal.
They're works of art. Belton, they look like works of art over here. You should sign them.
I just wish I could bring it, like, fresh, hot, you know?
Just had to pop
it in the microwave there to heat them up, right?
There we go. It's eating time.
Twice baked barbecue loaded potato.
Nice. Woo-wee. All right, it's break time?
It is. Coming up next, Coach Mace from the coach's chair. On the Green Zone pregame show right here on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, and Belton Johnson. Of course, a busy weekend of sports and a busy weekend of football to pay attention to as we look at what's going on around local football. You have the Rams against Calgary, of course. Rams against Manitoba as they continue their season earlier today. And the Rams are leading that one 20-8. And the Huskies beat up on the Calgary Dinos 45-22. So they're 4-1. The Rams looking to close this one out at Mosaic Stadium. They could be 4-1. So there you have it. And then, of course, the PFC, the Prairie Football Conference, the Saskatoon Hilltops and the Regina Thunder play tonight at SMF Field. Both those teams are 5-1 at the top of the PFC. But right now, as we get ready for the Riders and the Elks at 5 o'clock on TSN, it's time to head to the coach's chair.
Let's go!
He's got the answers to the questions you want to know about the green and white. Now, the coach's chair.
Each and every week, you hear from head coach Corey Mace ahead of kickoff. And this week, he wanted to start with the topic of the day so far is stopping Justin Rankin.
Yeah, you know, I think it's not a secret anymore how good of a player he is. You know, I think a lot of people identified that last year, honestly. And, you know, you're not really surprised at the year he's having. He's a strong runner, a patient runner. He's got good speed, catch out the backfield. He can block. He's a hell of a player, man. They got a good one. So we got to be on it, you know what I mean, whether it's just understanding where he's at in the passing game. Obviously understanding they do a good job running the ball, and it could be could look like a 2 yard run and can turn into 109. You know, he's got that kind of skill set. So we got to be all eyes in the run game for sure. But then obviously he can't fall asleep when they take to the air with Cody.
Do you think that there'll be a more in-tune offense this time around? Last time Cody Fajardo was, will he play? Well, he won't, and now he's been there a few weeks as a starter.
Yeah, no, I think, we see it on tape. They're just, I think, just more confident, and I think just reps, with Cody being in there, I think his first go-around was against us. So just like anything, right, they've had more time and more timing. And just flow of the game for them. So certainly we expect a much better team, than we played the first time, and we feel that we're better as well. So we're expecting a tough battle. There's going to be a decent crowd out there too. So, it's going to be a good game.
What do you expect from Edmonton? They're on the cusp of maybe missing playoffs once again, a couple more defeats. Just the desperation at that point for them?
I don't want to say desperation, but obviously – they got a ton to play for, and just knowing, I don't know very many players over there, but you know, obviously very familiar with Killam and, you know, JC and those guys. Those boys are going to be ready to play. So, yeah, our guys know that.
How do you guard against kind of being complacent where you guys are at and having clinched a playoff spot going up against a team that's fighting for their lives?
Yeah, we're fighting for ours. We got a lot of stuff to play for. Certainly the taste that was left for us this last week and a half, we don't like that. So we got a ton of stuff to play for, and even in just intrinsically for what we want to look like. So I think both teams are coming in with the same mindset.
Do you have to match your opponent's desperation level?
I just at this point of the year, and certainly just kind of how, you know, teams are jockeying for position. You're getting team's best effort, man, every week, you know what I mean? And it should be that all the time, but it's just a heightened sense of that, I think, towards the back end of the season. And if you don't match that, yeah, you're in for a long day. We're trying to pride ourselves in bringing that intensity every day. So certainly game day, it's got to show up.
There is head coach Corey Mace as we go to our second bold prediction question, is stopping Justin Rankin and this Riders defensive line and front seven. How many receiving yards for Justin Rankin, the dynamic Elks running back? How many rushing yards for Justin Rankin? And what's his longest play from scrimmage? And how many sacks do the Riders get this week, as they got 8 last time out against the Edmonton Elks? Just so you know, Justin Rankin this season has 756 rushing yards and 618 receiving yards. Mm. I know there's, what, 3 or 4 games left for the Edmonton Elks right now. There is a chance, outside as it is, but there is a chance that he could be a 1,000 guy rushing and receiving. He could.
Wow.
But Darrell, what do you got for rushing yards for Justin Rankin today? We all thought he was going to eat, but Belton was the only one that could pick him.
I think they're going to have to get away from the running game a little bit at the end, so I'm going to give him 80 yards.
80 yards rushing? How many receiving yards?
85.
85. Ooh, that is a big day. What's his longest play?
25.
How many sacks for the Rough Riders defensive line? 8 last time out against the Edmonton Elks.
And how many against Montreal last week? Last game?
Was it 0?
0, yeah. 3.
3 sacks today. I'm going to say 5 sacks because Cody likes taking sacks.
Yes, he's good at that.
I'm going to say 45 yards for Justin Rankin's longest. It's going to be receiving. I think he goes 90 yards receiving and 45 rushing today.
Mm. All right. Sacks, I'm going to go 4.
4 sacks?
Yep. Rushing yards, Darrell had 80-something. I'm going to go 70.
70? How many receiving yards?
56.
Okay. And what's his longest play from scrimmage for Justin Rankin?
And what did you have there, Jamie?
I had 20. 45. Darrell had 25.
All right, let me settle in the middle there somewhere, 30.
30 yards. We'll see what Justin Rankin does against this Rough Riders defense. Coming up next, Britton Gray's profile interview as he had a chat with Jaden Dahlke, the U of A product back in Edmonton. And we'll go around the CFL with no news at all that happened in the Canadian Football League this week. Some of the comments from Trevor Harris and Brett Lawther on the rule changes coming in 2026. And 2027. That's all directly ahead on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show ahead of the Riders and the Edmonton Elks. 5-9 Edmonton against the 10-3 Rough Riders, suffering their third loss before the bye week to the Montreal Alouettes. We'll get through all the roster changes a little bit later on, but right now it's time for Britton Gray's player profile interview with Rough Rider linebacker and special teamer Jaden Dahlke.
How's the season going for you? Kind of had to switch to linebacker. They're using you more a little bit there. What's it like learning that?
Yeah, it's new techniques, but I'm starting to getting the rhythm, and I'm enjoying it. It's a good room again, and missing my DB boys, but still show some face in there. It's a little bit of a hybrid, but yeah, it's been fun. Just biding my time, waiting for a moment to get in.
Let's talk a little bit about the Labor Day Classic. You had quite the interesting game where you had to go to the hospital. So can you run me through that story? I know you've shared it before, but just what happened?
Yeah, I just run down kickoff, got blocked in the back, hit my head and neck, and all of a sudden it was just stinging sensation and a little bit of neck pain that they were concerned with. So sent me to go get a CT scan, but the scan came back clean, so I was able to return in the second half.
This Rider special teams has been really good all season. Make comments about how good you guys are at making sure no returners get outside and everything. Just what's led to so much success this year?
Starts at the top. That's Majuri, man. He's very detail oriented, and you know, like, I think a lot of the guys want to. He always says that you are what you put on tape, but we are an extension of him and what you're either coaching or allowing it. And so I think it's definitely a credit to him. But then also we just got some special team demons, and there's some camaraderie there, and we want to fight for each other. So, and show up for our teammates. I think that has to do with that, yeah.
Still a little bit of a homecoming for you to go to Edmonton. Obviously, you played junior football there, U of A and everything.
16 years I played in Edmonton area, and then the last four been out here. So it's definitely, you know, I get to see a bunch of friends and fam that I don't get to see a lot throughout the season. But thankfully, my mom is handling the whole ticket. She's the ticket manager, graciously. So, yeah, it'll be exciting. Section Z, I think, is this year, so I'm going to be looking. And all the linebackers said they want to come get a picture afterwards, so I'm down with that.
How many tickets is she in charge of? Do you know that number?
It's over 100 now. Yeah, so it was at 90, and then during the bye, she got a bunch of requests because I saw some friends from junior, and they were asking for what section they had. So, yeah, she's taking that on, but everything's easy so far.
What do you guys expect from this Edmonton team? They're going to be desperate. They're a couple losses away from possibly their season once again outside of playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've seen the progression of even from when we played them last, and I think that we're a different team than when we last met up, but they've been accelerating and they're trending in the right direction. And then it's always been a hard-fought special teams battle whenever we go to Edmonton. And I think the last couple of times that we've played there, or last couple of times I played there, it's always a really close game. So I don't think anybody's expecting to go in there and blow anybody out, because it is hard to get wins, but we'll just make sure we prepare correctly.
So will the Dalkey section be wearing a bunch of Rider jerseys, or is it going to be split?
It's obvious. Obviously Riders. They actually used my brother as a billboard. Like, one of their advertisements was just like, wear the right shade of green. It's this picture of my brother and the melon head and a horn here. And I was just like, oh, you have no idea that that's an Alberta-born boy that's supporting the Riders, man.
I've seen that. That is hilarious. I've seen that on their social media. That's Jaden Dalkey's brother wearing the Rider watermelon helmet, apparently. That's great. Jaden Dalkey will be chasing things down, as always, on special teams.
Backup safety, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he is.
They're running out of safeties.
They're running out of Canadian DBs a little bit. Still no Tavon Campbell. We'll get to the roster check a little bit later on. A few more bold prediction questions. Keyshawn Johnson, 32 yards away from 1,000. When will he cross the threshold of 1,000 yards?
5 minutes into the second quarter.
5 minutes into the second quarter, so 10 minutes left in the second.
First quarter.
How fast?
Let's go 13 minutes.
So 2 minutes left in the first quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say he does it maybe on the first offensive play. Oh, God, 10 minutes left in the first quarter. I'll go there. Is that what you were going to say?
I was just hoping you went further. Like, I was going to get the whole first quarter to myself.
Boom, right away, Keyshawn Johnson on that one. Sam Emilis returns to the lineup. How many catches and yards in Sam Emilis's return? One of Trevor Harris's favorites.
You want catches or yards?
Catches and yards.
Four. 45.
Four for 45.
5487.
I'll take the under. I'll go 3 for. I think he'll have a big play. I'm going to go 55 for Sam Emilis today. As we go around the Canadian Football League, before we get to the rule changes, let's get to the scores. The Montreal Alouettes beat the Calgary Stampeders 38-20. And with the loss by the Tiger Cats today, the Alouettes are one win back of Hamilton for top spot in that Eastern Division, of course. And down the stretch run, I don't know if they play one more time. They do not. So they are done for that set of games. So
for Hamilton being the undisputed front runner too, after getting walloped today by the Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Yeah, 40-3 Winnipeg. Wow. All over the Hamilton Tiger Cats.
What happened? 40-3.
Chris Streveler was the backup, and they had Zach Collaros back.
Zach played. That's why.
Zach was the starting quarterback. Streveler finished off three touchdown runs. So he's not the quarterback.
No.
What did he complete? 3 or 4 passes last game for the, and they
three,
won.
Three.
And they still beat Ottawa.
It's ridiculous.
So shows you how bad Ottawa is, but still. The Bombers are they're not done yet. We keep thinking they might be finished, and they keep digging themselves out, don't they?
Yeah. Yes, they do. And the other game was last night, the BC Lions. Nathan Rourke had a touchdown pass and 2 touchdown runs in a 27-22 win over the Toronto Argonauts. Look out for the Lions. There's a 3-way tie for second place in the West. Calgary is 8-6. The Bombers and the Lions are 8-7 right now.
That Rough Riders Lions game might be pretty exciting.
What the Alouettes, Davis, what he set a record or something.
9-0. He's undefeated as the Alouettes starter in 9 straight games.
Danny McManus won his first 8 starts of his career. That was the previous record. Now it's Davis Alexander who has won all of his 9 starts. A little bit different than when Danny did it. Danny had a little bit of a break between starts, but there were big chunks. Davis played a couple, then he got injured, then played a couple more, and then he got injured and played a couple more. And now he's at 9-0 as a starter in the Canadian Football League, but very impressive. Yeah. That Alouettes team was the team I picked to meet the Riders in the Grey Cup, and I'm even more convinced today that that's going to be the case.
They're a different
with
team
the Alouettes.
With him in the lineup, aren't they? They just rally around him, you can tell. Like McLeod-Bethel Thompson doesn't do much for that franchise. He shredded the Rough Riders, but Rough Riders had 2 unproven corners, so he really took advantage of them, but other than that, there hasn't been many good performances by Bethel Thompson, but Alexander just seems to inspire that football team.
Okay. Now for the other news around the Canadian Football League. This week, Stuart Johnston made a news conference and announced changes to the Canadian Football League. And when they said significant changes were coming, they weren't lying. Significant changes are being made. It's a two-phased rollout in 2026. The Rouge will be amended. No longer will a missed field goal or a punt that goes through the end zone without being touched by the opposition, that's no longer a point.
Good.
0 points. 2 years ago, last year, Toronto beat the Riders on a walk-off missed field goal. So
I
that's
didn't like that, if I remember.
I hated every bit of it. And I am glad that this is pretty well my rule. Also, I'm calling it the Jamie and I rule.
That's
am I allowed
good.
To do
okay.
that?
I've
been talking about it for over a decade. But
we basically listen to you. That was all your recommendations too, right?
Pretty close to the T on how you're implementing it is that Rouge rule. But if the ball comes to rest or touches a player or a player fields it and can't get out of the end zone, you will still see a Rouge in the Canadian Football League. Also, teams on opposite sides of the field for their benches in every, because that was.
That's a fight every time, man.
Yeah.
We just saw the Argos and the Elks there, right?
The best line of all these rule changes came from Mark Killam. Did you see the head coach of the Edmonton Elks? Said, they asked him about the rule changes. He said, I'm really going to miss being beside the Argonauts bench now. Because remember that Ryan Dinwiddie, the Argonauts coach, came and his running place kick or something, at the Edmonton bench, he was so hot. And so they won't be beside each other anymore. It used to be that way. All the Western teams used to be on opposite sides,
yep,
and the Easterns used to be on the same side.
Yep.
And then BC moved both teams, so they're the only Western team that does it both. It makes so much sense.
It
puts everybody closer. It's safer. There's less chance for confrontations.
Yep.
And it's also, as he said, and you would appreciate this, Belton, running. If you're on the far bench running down to replace somebody at the other end of the field, that can be a 60-yard run, and you get there and you're exhausted. So this is a much better
way. And it's why in some games you see the ref not blow in the 20-second clock because he's waiting for that substitution to come down.
Illegal substitution,
Speeds up the game.
35 seconds after a play now. That's all you got. That's going to be a good pace.
And that's another rule change, 35-second play clock. Instead of the 20-second, the 20-second starts arbitrarily. It is up to the ref to start the 20-second clock. We have seen plays between snaps between plays be like a minute 10, a minute. And now it's going to be 35 seconds, end of play. There'll be a breath. Then they'll start that 35-second play clock. The NFL has a 40-second one. I'll be interested to see what this impacts the end of games.
Yeah. I think throughout the game there'll be more plays because of it, but it might be a couple fewer plays in the last 3 minutes, which I think will be criticized, but it's only going to be a player.
But it'll also speed up. Like Stuart Johnson said, it took 10 minutes for a minute and a half drive.
11 minutes to complete in 1 minute and 12 seconds of playing time. Yeah. He said that has to change. And you're right. It won't be whistled in. You'll be going.
Yep.
And they say if the defense is trying to dawdle because the defense is ahead, they say you can snap the football, draw a penalty, and complete the play. It sounds like what the rules are going to allow you to do. So you just, you're the offense, get ready, and away you go.
And then, so that's phase one in 2026, the amendment to the Rouge, the play clock, and the benches on opposite sidelines. And then, as Stuart Johnston kept saying, the canvas to the Canadian Football League will change. It will be 15-yard end zones. The field goal posts will no longer be in the middle of the field. They will be at the back line of the end zone. And then the 55-yard line is goodbye. It's going to be a 100-yard field, 15-yard end zones. That is now a 130-yard footprint instead of 150 yards. That field fits in, I believe they said, 45% more facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, in North America.
Might be in Halifax. Yeah. Might fit into Halifax now. So the Wanderers, where the soccer team plays.
Well, anybody that has a rugby, as they say, it can fit in a rugby pitch. It can fit the soccer. If you want a legitimate soccer, it is about 130 yards.
Yep.
When you go from 120-ish yards from goal line in soccer, and then you add the net, right, which is 5 yards on each side almost or deeper, that's 130 yards. So
that's now a CFL field is 130 yards. I think it's a great idea. It's innovative. It allows you to look at those other places anyway, and they might be allowed. They're going to be moving games around in the near future, but this will begin in 2027, so it won't affect next year's games in Kelowna. And the Riders are playing a preseason game in Saskatoon, so it won't have to be changed for next season, but the year after. And that's going to be the quandary. What do amateur sports do? What do you do in youth sports? What do you do in junior football? What do you do in high school football? Are they going to move the posts back? Might be prohibitive because of the costs, but what facilities will you have to use if you don't move them back? So lots to be figured.
And got 2 years though, right? Things out a little bit, right?
Yep. So here's the one big issue. Is the concern with the field goal posts at the back in 15-yard end zones that if you're scrimmaging at the 35-yard line, that is now a 58-yard field goal. Now it's 43.
These kickers can still make that.
But 58-yard field goal.
Good. Yeah. Fewer field goals.
Are we going to just see more tiny little pooch punts out the corner of the coffin corner punts?
Hasn't that been one of the most exciting plays of the season, that pooch punt by Trevor Harris?
Oh, please. You want to see that punt five, seven, eight times a game? Like, seriously. No,
but you might see it five, seven times a season, which is okay. I think that it fits into the strategy. Yeah,
Hey, Belt.
Canadian Field Goal League or something.
You Canadian said Field Goal League. There are more field goals in this league than there are touchdowns. I don't want that. Field goal. Go
but
make a sandwich.
But you think these coaches are going to go for it? Like, that's to get more touchdowns, you need coaches to be more aggressive.
What else are they going to do, Jamie?
They're going to be conservative and punt it down the field to try
to
pin them.
The 5-yard line? Well, then let them try it.
They may kick the field goal.
They might try the field goal. And then if it's short, then it gets run back.
Right? Yeah, I'm with you there. And if, it's missed, the other team's got a ton to score.
There's one group of people I don't trust to make this game more entertaining, and it's coaches.
Me neither.
Period.
Don't let them anywhere near a rule book.
And that's why they shouldn't have been involved with the rule changes.
Good for Stuart Johnson not allowing the coaches involved to be
but
involved.
Yep. If you're going to go, okay, our analytics are the same. No, your analytics take out the most conservative human beings on the planet, which are football coaches, except for Dan Campbell with the Detroit Lions.
Don't we love watching Dan Campbell's team play? Yeah. They're the most exciting team to watch these days.
Exactly.
So let him do it, yeah. And they'll be going for more third down plays, and they'll be trying for touchdowns more than field goals.
I don't think they will.
They'll have to. Well, you're going to have to keep up, so I think you're going to have to. Jamie, I certainly hope so. But you're right. You can't predict what staid, old, boring coaches are going to do, but I sure hope that they follow the basics and the logic.
Field position is way more important to them than an entertainment.
Everything's more important to them than entertainment. That's the problem. So don't let them involved with it. And I think these rules will force them to try new things.
If you're going to do that, you can't punt the ball inside the 35-yard line. How about their 40-yard line? You can't even go into a formation to punt the ball.
That might be a new rule that they have to add. So,
but there are the rule changes announced earlier this week.
Safely out of the way, too. I like the post. And you get more open end zone because you'll be able to pass and punt into and out of the end zone way easier. It's a great, great decision.
We'll see what it looks like. It's going to be different in 2027 with the rule changes that were announced on Monday in the Canadian Football League. Still a big issue around the CFL going into the weekend. I'm predicting a missed field goal Rouge to win, by the way, for the Rough Riders.
Today?
Yeah, 26-25. One for the road for the Rough Riders. And in honor of this rule change for next year, missed field goal this week, single point for the victory from the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Coming up next, our final score predictions, also the roster check, who's in and who is out for the Rough Riders and the Elks. This is 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.